We're live at EXT, and I've got Peter Case here. Hi, Peter.
Hey, how you going? Great to be here.
Can I ask you a little bit about that first album real quick? You worked with T-Bone on that?
Yeah, T-Bone produced it. This was back in 30 years ago it came out, but it was in 85 that we were working on it. It was sort of a change in my career. I'd been in the Plimsolls in another band called The Nerves. Then I started writing sort of that different kind of song, and this was sort of a departure for me, but also for the whole music scene, really, because there really hadn't been a singer-songwriter that came out of the punk rock and roll, new wave thing yet. We enlisted a lot of great help on that record. Van Dyke Parks does a string arrangement on it, and Roger McGuinn played on the record, and John Hiatt sang on it. Keltner played drums, and a lot of different things happened on the record, but it's all based on the songs, you know.
As you said, there wasn't really a lot of what you were doing happening at the time, but that was kind of the front running of a lot of sort of punk artists who started doing stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, I was never exactly a punk artist, but I was definitely affiliated with that movement. I was always interested in it. You know, I'd come out from Buffalo and been a street musician and worked my way up into these bands by the time, way before punk started. So The Nerves was like a forerunner. We actually did tour opening for the Ramones and stuff like that. Yeah, maybe I was among the first of that. I definitely was probably the first. You know, they say that I'm sort of like the beginning of the Americana movement. You know, some people say, I'm not sure what that means. I was just trying to write great songs, you know, based on, all the different music I love, putting it together to tell my stories, American stories, I guess.
We're live at EXT. Peter Case is here. So, Peter, back in Buffalo, what music were you listening to when you were growing up?
I grew up in a house full of rock and roll. My sisters were teenagers when I was a child. Fats Domino, Elvis Presley, the Everly Brothers, Buddy Holly, Bo Diddley, Chuck Berry, and all that stuff was in my house, Ray Charles. And so I grew up, kind of got that in my blood at a really early age. And then Bob Dylan, you know, when they came back from college, you know, I got turned on to that around 65, I guess, is when I really got my first. My mom bought a Bob Dylan record, bringing it all back home, and I love that one. I love blues singers. I started to really dig poetry, like the beat poet kind of guys. When I was really young, you know, I don't know how I got into it, but I just did. Gregory Corso and Ferlinghetti and all those kind of guys. Kerouac. It was a big influence on the music as well. But I love blues singers. One time I was hitchhiking. I was like just 15, I think, or 16 maybe. And I came through Albany, and it was a blizzard, so I ducked into a library to get out of the blizzard. And then you could listen to records there. And I picked out a Woody Guthrie record, a Skip James record, and a Cisco Houston record. And it was the first time I ever heard Cisco Houston or Skip James. Blew me away, of course, in that situation, you know.
What drew you to those records? If you had never heard them before, what drew you to those records?
I'd heard of them, but I'd never seen them actually before. And there was like this little old library, and it was like a blizzard outside, so I just ducked in there, you know, and then like it was just a great eye-opener, ear-opener, whatever you want to say. Especially that Skip James, but also the Cisco Houston, you know, and it was really, really great. You know, those guys were real wise, you know, wise guys, but you know, it was funny, but also really poignant, you know.
Would you say that influenced a lot of what you do in your songwriting?
The spirit of those guys, yes, you know, definitely. Reading and writing and listening to music, you know, it's all in there, you know. I tell stories, and I try to tell them in the most kind of like interesting and compact way. It's not really like, you know, navel gazing or anything, but, you know, I suppose there's some element of that in there. But really what it is telling stories and trying to tell them in, you know, fresh language, talking about things that are going on in America now. That's what my new album is, Highway 62.
We're live at EXT with Peter Case. That new album, Highway 62, or have you play a couple songs from it. What would you like to say about it?
Highway 62 is the longest east-west highway connecting Mexico with Canada. It runs from Juarez, like El Paso, Texas, all the way up to Niagara Falls. I grew up one block from it in Buffalo. Along the way of Highway 62, it goes through Bobby Fuller's hometown of El Paso, Buddy Holly's hometown of Lubbock, Texas, Woody Guthrie's hometown of Okemah, Sonny Throckmorton's hometown of Carlsbad, Levon Helm's hometown of Fayetteville, Arkansas, Everly Brothers' hometown of Central City, Kentucky, and then Phil Oak's hometown of Columbus, Ohio. It's definitely a music highway. And then, of course, it goes up through my hometown. And, you know, it was always a road. It's a little 2-3-lane road that runs across the country. So I use that name to tie together stories, you know, the sort of stories of the, you know, not the big superhighway America, but a kind of off-road America going across the country and the towns and the villages and the people and what they're going through.
What about this song, All Dressed Up for Trial?
That was inspired by a friend of mine who was a public defender out on the West Coast, and he told me that some judge leaned on him and said, we're not going to be hearing everybody's cases here. You're supposed to be extracting guilty pleas before the thing goes to trial so we can save some money. And the guy goes, what if they're innocent? And the guy, you know, they had a big fight. And so it was inspired by, you know, it's the idea of someone sitting there and like they're being forced, even though they didn't do it, to make a guilty plea. But I'm my cousin's suit and old blue tie, shined my shoes and said goodbye. Today at noon, I'll know the tale. Will I go free or back to jail? Well, I'm all dressed up. I'm all dressed up for trial. I never hurt nobody else, and no one knows the way I felt. Now in the care of a public defender says I should cop a plea. And I'm all dressed up, I'm all dressed up for trial. Where the DA throws his weight around, they all assume I'm jailhouse bound. I tell the truth, but that don't help. I'm terrified to be myself. Well, they listened in to smoke me out. The court says there's no room for doubt. A witness lied, the jury coughed, the judge got scared, she looked too soft. And I'm all dressed up, I'm all dressed up for, all dressed up, I'm all dressed up for trial. Well, my lawyer says there's a railroad down to prison from my side of town. They saw my face and read my skin, the colors say I'm going in. Now the wheels and gears of justice grind, but justice still gets left behind. So if you see me on your street, your heart don't have to skip a beat. Cause I'm all dressed up, I'm all dressed up for, all dressed up, I'm all dressed up for, all dressed up, I'm all dressed up for trial. Court will now decide who gets judged for real this time. A higher court will now decide who gets judged for real this time. A higher court will now decide who gets judged for real this time. And I'm all dressed up, I'm all dressed up for trial.
Hi, this is Peter Case, and you've left regular radio behind. You're listening to Exit 97.7 WEXT.
Mother was doing her ironing while she listened to Nat King Cole. Teenagers came and went in cars, all tuned to rock and roll. Windows were open in the summer heat, locusts were singing out there on the street. The feeling passed, now I can't recall how we never thought we had it all. Everyone, every place, everything's been erased. That's the way it goes. First the laughter, then the light. Now they're all gone and locked up tight where the cold wind blows. But we'll all meet again at the end of the long good time. Sweet little flowers called snowdrops in the backyard with the fresh mint leaves. A cherry tree with a rope to climb and robin's nest under the eaves. My band was playing in the basement, driving folks out of their minds. Mother called down from the top of the stairs, boys, play that nice song about suicide. Everyone, every place, everything has been erased. Oh, that's the way it goes. First the laughter, then the light. Now they're all gone and locked up tight
right or the cold wind blows. But we'll all meet again at the end of the long good time. Yeah, we'll all meet again at the end of the long good time. The power's cut, the house is cold, the books are boxed up, the furniture sold. Memories drift, our souls drift too. The world keeps turning, what's it turning to? Me and Pa were circling a table, fighting the war with our fists. Papa said to Mama, the boy's insane, there's a viper in our midst. Years later, we made amends, guess those ribs didn't hurt no more. You could even say we became good friends when we saw what we had in store. Everyone, every place, everything has been erased. Oh, that's the way it goes. First the laughter, then the lie. Now they're all gone and locked up tight where the cold wind blows. But we'll all meet again at the end of the long good time. Yeah, we'll all meet again at the end of the long good time. Oh yeah, we'll all meet again at the end of the long good time.
Now we're live at EXT. Peter Case is here, played a couple songs from his new album called Highway 62. That one there is called The Long Good Time.
Yeah, that's inspired by family, my original family that I grew up with, and it just sort of describes the house and the band playing in the basement. And, you know, I didn't think about it at the time, but it probably drove my poor parents crazy that you have that band. You know, we were a latchkey band. My parents both worked, so, like, we'd be in there playing before they got down the basement, playing before they got home from work. And we'd try to stop pretty much when they got home, but sometimes they would be up there and we'd keep going, and it must have been torture for them, but, you know. Yeah, but they did really support the music. But that's a whole story about that, but we had some disagreements. It just kind of covers family life.
What was that music scene like in Buffalo when you were there?
Well, it was interesting because there was a guy over there named Stan Zaleste, and he was kind of the Buffalonian rock and roller. And I actually met Garth Hudson when I was making my first album, and Garth told me, when we talked about Buffalo, and I mentioned Stan Zaleste, and he turned to me, all of a sudden he just turns around and he goes, Stan Zaleste taught the band how to play rock and roll. He was the original piano player for Ronnie Hawkins and the Hawks. Then he had a band in Buffalo called Stan and the Raven, and my guitar teacher was this guy, Pete Haskell, and he was in Stan and the Raven. So I'm connected right into that scene. I learned my music from those people. And they had a special way of playing music. There weren't any songwriters particularly in Buffalo. You know, that was the funny thing. If there were, they left. You know, I know Eric Anderson grew up there and left, and I left. But, you know, at the time, there really weren't any staying there. Now there's Ani DeFranco and people like that that are great. At the time, it was a player scene, and it was kind of a multiracial scene. You know, it was African Americans and Italian Americans getting together basically on the west and east sides of Buffalo and playing blues together, and it was a really great scene.
That's good to come up through, eh?
It was, because I got a lot of training, you know, from older guys teaching me how to play in a groove. I was playing piano in bands back then, and so they taught me how to, you know, kind of roll with the beat. You know, there's a certain way you had to play, and if you didn't play that way, they'd yell at you or something, you know what I mean? So you had to do what they said. So you know, we'd play like Mystery Train, and the piano is like going double time, and the drums cut it in half, and the bass does a certain thing. Everybody had a job to do, you know. It wasn't like, you know, like freewheeling, you know, surrealistic expression. It was rock and roll that you played for working people in bars. But it was had its own style, and it was a bluesy style, and it was really, really fun. That's what I grew up doing, and I think a lot of that really informed my bands. The Nerves and the Plimsolls, even though we're not really identified with the Buffalo rock and roll scene, I learned a lot from that, and I brought it, especially rhythmic things, that I brought to the Plimsolls especially, you know. But yeah, also to the Nerves, where I was the bass player, and I brought a lot of what I learned in Buffalo.
So we're live at EXT. Peter Case is here. His new album is called Highway 62. How about another song from that?
Pelican Bay, up in Northern California, there's a place called Pelican Bay, and it's beautiful land in California, except the only problem with taking your vacation there is it's the home of
one of the largest maximum security prisons in the United States. This is a story about a guy who's not really like a terrible kind of thug or anything like that. He's a guy that escaped from prison. He was a burglar. He escaped from prison, and they sentenced him to 15 years in solitary. There was no court or anything. That just like that's just what they said. So I wrote that story about it.
Well, a convicted full-time burglar made a prison break. Lasted 3 weeks on the run, got as far as the next state. So they brought him back and sentenced him to 15 years of hell. Set up to the shoe at Pelican Bay in a solitary cell. He said there's nothing to it, to himself as they slammed the door. On an 8x10-foot cubicle, a bed and not much more. It's the Pelican Bay Supermax, no calendar to count the days. Of endless isolation, lost in a one-room maze. Now there's 2 million people in prison tonight in the USA. 80,000 in solitary and 100 strike on Pelican Bay. Day and night, fluorescent light, no window for the sun. They shove your food in through a slot so you never see no one. It's a 23-hour lockdown under their control. You never leave, you can hardly breathe, it rots away your soul. Now there's 2 million people in prison down in the USA. 80,000 in solitary and 100 strike on Pelican Bay. He made himself a chess set out of blanket lint, but the guards were feeling angry, so they confiscated it. For the slightest of infractions, extracted from his cell. Pretty soon he's got a broken jaw, the guard just says he fell. Now there's 2 million people in prison down in the USA. 80,000 in solitary and 100 strike on Pelican Bay. It ain't no kind of justice, it's a system of abuse. There ain't no courts watching over it, politicians say what's the use. We got the highest rate of incarceration in the world, half the prisoners are black. Well, it's a brand of slavery, everybody knows the deck is stacked. Now there's 2 million people in prison in the USA. 80,000 in solitary and 100 strike on Pelican Bay. Pelican Bay, on Pelican Bay, on Pelican Bay.
I'm Peter Case. This is 97.7 EXT. Support the music at exit977.org.